Hello and welcome to Press TV's debate. I'm Marzia Hashemi. What is next in Iraq? The answer may be becoming clear as there has been a political coalition deal made between Mukhtar al-Assad's Sarun alliance and Prime Minister Haider al-Abadi's Nasr victory bloc. Now, this all follows a parliamentary election which was held on May the 12th, which left no absolute winner. Well, stay with us as we take a look at the formation of this coalition and what it may mean for Iraq. We're going to cross over to Baghdad, where we're joined by Press TV's Atef Ahmed. Atef, good to have you with us. Well, please fill us in on the latest situation on the ground there.
Well, the latest alliance between current Prime Minister Dr. Haider al-Abadi and the head of Sa'irun alliance, Sayyid Muqtada al-Sadr, has given the entire atmosphere here in Iraq a great boost that Iraq could be indeed inching closer towards forming a new government. We know that the current parliament in Iraq will expire on June 30th. That is less than a week from now, so the clock is indeed ticking. However, the alliance which was established between Dr. Abadi and Sayyid Muqtada al-Sadr is still not enough. It still does not amount to forming a parliamentary majority which is capable of choosing Iraq's newer premier and approving Iraq's newer government. Now, this comes at a time when we have been hearing a lot of calls for a manual recount of votes, which was demanded after substantiated evidence of fraud and forgery had surfaced in the elections, something which was also backed by Iraq's Supreme Federal Court. So we are less than a week away from parliament expiring. A manual recount of votes is still not done. The delay and the consequences of this delay are still unknown, but everyone is hoping in Iraq that this newer alliance could push Iraq closer to forming a new government and choosing a new prime minister.
All right, well, let's hope so. Thanks so much for that update out of Baghdad. That's Press TV's Atef Ahmed. And now I'd like to welcome our guests to the program out of Baghdad, former Iraqi government spokesman Laith Kuba, and out of London, Iraq affairs expert Zayed Al-Issa. Thank you both for being with us. Well, let's start this off in Baghdad. And Mr. Kuba.
Just, I want to check something. The guest in Baghdad is there.
Okay. Do I have my guests in Baghdad? Well, let's start this off in London and Zayed Al-Issa then. What is your perspective about this alliance between these two parties?
Well, I have to say that the alliance between the Nasr, which is victory, which is led by the current incumbent Prime Minister Haider al-Abadi, and Muqtada al-Sadr's Sa'irun, or On the March movement, is an important step towards forging a new government. But let's not forget, it comes hot on the heels of an alliance, a highly surprising alliance between Muqtada al-Sadr's party, Sa'irun, and al-Fatah political bloc, which is led by Hadi al-Amiri, which represents the popular mobilization forces. It came as a shock in the country's political landscape and a step that is totally unimaginable. And I do believe that it has shaken, rattles, and taken aback the Saudis and also Trump, which never imagined such a move by both Muqtada al-Sadr and Hadi al-Amiri, which has taken them completely by surprise, because the two blocks led by Muqtada al-Sadr and Hadi al-Amiri represents the first two major political blocks that have won the most seats in Iraq's supposedly new parliament. And everyone was expecting and pushing for Abadi to form an alliance with Muqtada al-Sadr, which has now materialized. So it is important that we heard yesterday that both Muqtada al-Sadr and also Abadi have emphasized and reiterated that their new alliance is not to cancel or contradict or indeed jeopardize previous alliances. So what we understand that the alliance between Muqtada al-Sadr and Haider al-Amiri, which is absolutely crucial and have constituted a major turning point and constituted a corner Akona to actually forming the new government is okay. still alive and kicking, and that's absolutely crucial.
All right, well, stay with me in London. Let me cross back over to Baghdad and get Laith Quba in on this discussion. Will this alliance be able to have an effective government if they reach the point that they can actually form one? Can they have, will they be able to have an effective government?
I think that is the important question that needs to be asked. Prime Minister Abadi so far has been insisting on a departure from the past practices of the government. He's insisting on strengthening the state. He's insisting that the state should have full control over arms. He is setting a program away from the quota system, more into competency of performing ministers. I think this is the real challenge. I think politicians and leaders of those blocs can give a lip service to say, yes, we're prepared to do it. Would that materialize? Would they actually sign on a program with concrete commitments to implement these promises? I think this is the toughest departure point that Prime Minister Abadi has ahead of him, if he is elected or if anybody else is elected. I listened carefully to the statement he made yesterday, and he said, if the future government will not commit to these new principles, he has no interest to be part of it. This is a new, it's a game changer. It's a new, it's a departure from the past where the competing, let's say, parties do not simply rush to power, but they're underlying what principles they should adhere to. So in a way, we've got a long way to go. I think we're still at the early steps of that process.
Okay, well, Zaid Issa, your perspective. There are obviously stark differences between the parties involved in this coalition. I want to talk about some of the differences and some of the challenges. And basically, how do you think that that is going to basically show its face? Will they be able to handle these differences and bring their what they have in common all together to override these differences?
Well, I do believe that the overarching goal and overriding priority, which should supersede any priority at the moment, is to actually restore the people's confidence in the political and electoral process, is actually to press ahead with reclaiming its credibility, because we've seen that the last elections were overshadowed and marred by a historically low turnout, and actually were marred with widespread accusations which were confirmed and acknowledged by a report by the government that there have been serious violations of the electoral process. There have been real and concrete accusations of widespread ballot rigging and fraud during the electoral process. So it is highly crucial to reassert the legitimacy of the process, of the whole process, and to also regain its credibility, which has been highly shattered. And it is crucial and important to judge people on their previous track record. It's not good enough to come and say, well, Abadi at the moment is pushing for a government of technocrats, and he is basically saying that he would not lead a new government unless the other political blocs depart or actually simply change the course that the political process has taken for 15 years. Let's not beat about the bush. Abadi is pushing very hard and pressing very hard for a second term. And it was a devastating blow for his prospects of becoming prime minister when Hadi Al-Amri and Muqtada Sadr have forged their alliance. And as I said, it is important to establish and find out exactly where Muqtada Sadr stands on that alliance, because all of us know that both Trump and Mohammed bin Salman have been pressing very hard. They have made concerted, relentless effort leaving no stone unturned in order to derail, destabilize, and discredit the entire political system and to try to wane off all political blocs that have been helped out crucially by Iran during the
back
ISIS
in on this.
Invasion.
Kuba, stay with me, Zeyd Alisa. Light Kuba, your take on some of the comments coming out of London. I want to look at the role. Actually, Zeyd Alisa talked about the Washington-Riyadh connection and dealing with the situation in Iraq, and I'd like to get your perspective on that.
Well, as you know well, that the agenda has changed dramatically in Washington towards Iraq. I think in the past they had more of interest in Iraq itself. They have less of interest in Iraq now. Their interest is more focused on a security agenda. They also have a bigger or a grand scheme for the region, some to do with the issue of Palestine. They want to resolve this on Israeli terms. They have an agenda on Iran, and all this strongly impacts Iraq. I think Washington has little interest in petty Iraqi politics and what's taking place inside.
Well, why would you say that, though? Mr. Kuba, let me just jump in here. Why would you say that? Because obviously what you call petty politics is going to affect the direction of the country. And of course, we know that Washington has troops there in the country. And of course, we know the interest in the oil sector also that in Iraq. So how could it be that Washington has totally lost interest in domestic politics in Iraq?
Because Washington is now exercising a very rough approach to the region. It's using a big stick, irrespective of the consequences on different countries and different populations. It has a big fight. It wants to use economic sanctions, very rough and aggressive towards Iran. It worked out an alliance outside the traditions it had with the Gulf states. It is moving in a way I think the region is not accustomed to. It's very, very rough. So that's the reason it will not look at micro politics, and it will not look at subtleties. It will not look at an indirect influence behind the scene. It is exercising direct influence in your face. I'm going to march in the way I'd like, and this is how they're doing it. So I think they can pressure Iraq in a very aggressive way, and they will, as they are pressuring the whole region in a very aggressive way. I think Iraqi politicians know that. Everybody is doing the calculus that Trump is a runaway train or with very little controls even from within the establishment in Washington. So it's a new phase the whole region is going to suffer from. And that's the reason I reference the small politics that is taking place is very small number in the bigger numbers or the calculus mm-hmm. that America is playing in the region.
Okay, what about that, Zeyd Alisa? Do you think that now the United States is taking a more macro perspective when looking at the region instead of really, according to our guest here in Baghdad, being overly concerned about local politics inside of Iraq?
I do believe that that this is completely baseless. By looking at what's happening on the ground, we know that the U.S. and mainly Trump has suffered with the backing of Saudi Arabia. Their overall major plan for Syria to topple the regime in Syria and oust the leadership there has suffered a devastating blow. They are actually being bogged down with the Saudi partners. That is mainly Mohammed bin Salman, who has been elevated to become become the crown prince by the full backing, ringing endorsement from Trump. I do believe that the main strategy for Iraq is playing a major role. They are banking on a major change of Iraq. Iraq is absolutely central, absolutely crucial to American, that is Trump and Saudi, Mohammed bin Salman overall strategy. Their overall main overarching strategy is to wane off Iraqi political blocs and to entice them away and to steer them away from their major backer, the country that have backed them up to the hilt, stood through thick and thin by Iraq. It provided everything Iraq needed for its own survival. It actually protected Baghdad, the capital, that is Iran. That is the intention. And if they don't succeed in bringing a prime minister that is obsessively attached to obediently towing the American line, then I do believe that's a major disaster for overall American policy in the region. They need, if they don't succeed, at least to turn this political bloc against them in order to drown Iraq in.
What about what our guest in London has said? It is actually of utmost importance that the leader of Iraq toe a certain line according to what the United States wants. And many would say that with the United States there, what we have seen over the years and bursts of terrorism and, of course, Daesh itself, a lot of that is actually related to the United States wanting Iraq actually to be in a more chaotic state to in order to have more control over it. Your perspective, sir.
Well, look, we have a track record of 4 years of an Iraqi prime minister who managed to walk a neutral line, an independent line. Nobody would accuse Prime Minister Abadi having been basically a tool of the US or of the Saudis. He has built relationships. He has restored Iraq's position in the region. We look forward to having a stronger Iraq in the region, not a weaker Iraq. It's in nobody's interest to have a weak Iraq in the region. And any prime minister who is Iraqi with Iraqi credentials will work for Iraq and strengthen Iraq's independence and role in the region. Iraq has over 1,000 kilometers borders with Iran. In no way any Iraqi prime minister will do the suicidal steps that Saddam Hussein did. We have a totally different country now. We do have elections. We do have a population that is aware, and in no way I see in the horizon any prime minister of the current candidates who will be subservient to the US. This is not going to happen. We need to be realistic here and look at the real challenges. We still have a threat of Daesh. We are surrounded in the midst of turbulence. We have three or four fires, wars taking place in the region, and I think any prime minister would be stupid to pick a fight either with America or with any of Iraq's neighbors. Iraq's first priority today is to look after the 4 million under the poverty line who are inside Iraq and to restore peace and preserve our blood and serve our youth. That is the agenda for Iraq, not to serve anybody's interest but Iraqi interest. And part of Iraqi interest to have good relationships with our neighbors, all of our neighbors. So I'm looking at this whole thing from an Iraqi perspective, and I think most contenders to the position of the prime minister will do the same and look the same.
What about that, Zayd al-Issa, in your perspective? Do you feel that Iraq is the priority for these candidates, and especially for this new coalition? And but at the same time, that any leader has to be able to keep a certain balance with Iraq's neighbors and many would say also foreign forces, meaning like the United States and some of its Western allies.
Well, basically, let's look at things which are prevailing on the ground. Let's learn the lessons. We are not against having good, solid relations with countries that want to exchange those relations. But judging by Saudi Arabia's track record, since Saddam Hussein was toppled and overthrown, it has been starkly against recognizing the Iraqi government. It worked tirelessly, leaving no stone unturned in its efforts or making strenuous attempts to actually discredit, destabilize, and dramatically weaken Iraq in order to overturn its fledgling democracy. It has armed, it has funded, it has provided logistical support to both Al-Qaeda in Iraq and ISIL, and it has interfered and meddled, and we have tried it out. Saudi Arabia has sent Thamar al-Sabhan, much to the cheer and jubilation of Iraq's Prime Minister al-Ibadi. Ibadi has traveled to Saudi Arabia several times. He has taken huge an entourage of 60 advisors, 10 ministers when Salman invited him. Nothing has come out of that. The debt that Saudi Arabia demands Iraq to repay, which is money paid to Saddam Hussein, it's never a debt. It is money paid to wage war against Iraq and Iran.
Okay, I'm going to have to limit you talking because we're just about out of time.
And would never cancel it because it wants to bring Iraq to its heels.
Last question here. Iraq seems to be a country which is in continual transition these days. First, it was the post-Saddam era with American troops present on the ground in mass. Then there were constant terror attacks, and then Daesh appeared, taking a big part of the country. Then we had the fatwa from Ayatollah Sistani and the formation of Hashd al-Shaabi, retaking the country from terrorists. And now what? Where do you see Iraq going?
Well, it's quite challenging, and I think your question really would require a longer discussion. Yes, Iraq is still in transition, and the challenges now are too many. But I would simply summarize, there is one simple choice Iraq has to make and Iraqis have to make, including their politicians, and that is, would you emphasize the role of the state as the number one issue and challenge, a state being a sovereign, superior, controlling the arms, controlling the money, and functioning to serve its people, or would you extend the de facto multiple centers of power, too many armed groups, and too many authorities in the country?
All I right, and 30 Iraq seconds, Zeyda Issa, 30 seconds. Zeyda Issa, same question. I know it's we need more time, but that's all we have right now. Where do you see Iraq going?
I do believe that Ibadi has been given 4 years. He has failed spectacularly, and the Saudis, which are actually trying to give Ibadi a second chance, they haven't put their money where their mouth is. They have been practicing and going after destabilizing Iraq. When push comes to shove, they have tried absolutely the best, and I do believe that the new Trump, Mohammed bin Salman strategy is deeply worrying and deeply alarming to see any prime minister.
And of course, we're going to have another show on the same subject, but right now, so sorry, we're flat out of time. I appreciate both of you being with us. Laith Qaba, former Iraqi government spokesman out of Baghdad, and Zeyda Issa, Iraqi affairs expert out of London. As always, viewers, we appreciate you being with us on another debate. I'm Marzia Hashimi. See you next time.